welcome everybody on a Tuesday this week. Trash Talk with Tony Brasky is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me today, Grant Richards, Tyler Sawa, and the returning Jay Horn. What's up, gentlemen? Thanks for being here this week. Before we get into the program this week, I do quickly want to thank the sponsor of today's episode. Today's episode of Trash Talk is sponsored, as always, by Michigan-based Roast Number Coffee. Roastnumber.com, coupon code TONYD to save yourself 20% off. If you're a coffee lover like me and or you're looking to try something new, give Roast Number a try. Their Nitro Cold Brew, their Whole Bean Ground Coffee, both really, really good. Listen, I wouldn't be partnering with them and promoting their products if I thought they were bad. I really do enjoy their coffee. So like I said, if you're a coffee lover and or you're looking to try something new, give Roast Number a try. As always, thank you again to Roast Number for sponsoring this week's episode. All right, boys, let's get into the program this week, and let's begin, as always, with the introductions. Let's start with the returning Jay Horn. Jay, welcome back. It's good to have you back. How are you? How is life for Parlay Jay?
Parlay Jay is on a, you know, long, you know, break from betting.
that's probably a good thing.
You know, he's been winning a lot this year. You know, I'm speaking in third person. I sure am. And he's, you know, on a 7-day, you know, break of betting, you know, at a minimum of 3 parlays a day. He won. I think I did like one.
The minimum is 3 parlays a day?
If that, and I've done that for almost a week now. So we're going to try to make it to Wednesday. And if, you know, if I can do it, I might black out and, you know, go crazy. But hey, let's just not hope for that. Maybe do 50 parlays on Wednesday.
50? Well, speaking of 50 parlays, we talked about this a few weeks ago when we were reacting to the Super Bowl. I still can't believe what you did for the Super Bowl. Do you want to talk about your Super Bowl bets really quickly?
Well, for you all listening, I had a you know, plethora of
That's a way to put it.
I think it was 85 parlays, and I think I might have hit like 50 of them. You know, for all you listening, I didn't bet crazy money now. I didn't do crazy money. It wasn't too much money spent through those parlays. It was bonuses.
85 parlays, though, you add that up, that had to have been a good amount of change. I mean, I don't need the exact number, but
it was about 200, but about 100 of that was like bonus funds, though, from like, you know, FanDuel. So, yeah, I won that, you know, shout out to OBJ. You know, you won me a lot of money, but yeah, 85 parlays. I can't wait till next year. We're going for 185.
1-800-522-4700.
Jay, how on earth did you have the time to make 85 Super Bowl parlays?
You know, imagine was slow that day. It was 30, then it was 60, then it was 75, and I'm like, you know what? Got to make it 85.
Yeah. Well, regardless, Parlay Jay, it's good to have you back on the show this week. Speaking of sports betting, let's move into Grant Richards. Grant, how are you? And as always, you know, Mike made his return last week. Now we're not going to see him again for a little bit because of school. But Tyler, it's your role again.
Oh, I almost forgot that it's my role again. But
what, Grant, am I supposed to do?
Yeah, Grant, how was your sports betting this weekend?
I'm good. Can't complain. As of right now, a little upset with baseball, but we're moving through that.
Hey,
we're alive.
No baseball lockout talk today. I refuse to do it.
There was no deal, and there was never going to be.
There is no deal. There never was going to be a deal. Most of you know we record on Monday nights and upload on Tuesdays. As we sit right now recording on this Monday night, they're currently negotiating for a new deal to get this season going here and not cancel the March 31st opening day. I can't talk about the lockout right now because my luck will have a whole segment like last week where we talked about the lockout, and then when this comes out on Tuesday, we have a deal. Opening day starting on time, and then the whole episode is scrapped, so I'm not doing it. That's all we're going to say about the baseball lockout. We ain't got nothing to say. You want our thoughts? Go listen to last week's episode if you haven't already.
And our opinions haven't changed.
Have not changed. Next week, maybe we can have a conversation about what's going on. We should have probably a clearer answer next week, I would imagine. Who knows at this point? I mean, I'm done. Grant, continue.
All right. Well, other than that, we are doing wonderfully. We are, you know, just just having good weekends. I really miss football. If I can get into that, these Sundays, golf doesn't do it for me. I mean, golf does it for me,
what?
But it's not football. I miss football, Tony. I need something to watch on Sundays. And football does it for me. Anyway, sports betting has been absolutely terrible. I feel like I showed up to a calculus test that I did not study for because I don't have the answers. It is bad, man. It's just I don't know how I was running so hot because I have completely lost it. I've lost my touch. I've taken days off. I've made the opposite bets of what I would make to try and overthink things, and that doesn't work either. So I am spiraling. Yeah, it's been tough sledding. I do know we have to get to Tyler, but Tony, how is your sports betting?
I said I was going to take last week off, ended up putting some bets in. It didn't go particularly well, but we did end the week very well. We hit on Saturday and Sunday a total of 3 big parlays. 2 of them, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, was just like a normal team money line parlay, like 5 or 6 team parlay, whatever. Those both hit. And then on Sunday, we also had my Pistons same game parlay hit. So that was cool. Good way to end the week. Let's keep it rolling, Grant. Let's go. That's how my sports betting's going. But as Grant said, though, yeah, we do have one more introduction to get into. Let's get into Tyler Sawa now. Hi, Tyler. Are you okay? It was another baseball-free, football-free weekend for you. What you end up doing?
On Sunday, it was a little better just because I enjoyed the NBA Sunday. Oh. So last week, it was All-Star weekend. So, like, Sunday, you know, it was a delayed start. But I also had a lot of homework because it was the last week before spring break. So teachers were, you know, giving us a lot of work before spring break. Mm. So that kept me busy throughout the weekend. So, you know, I wasn't, you know, just driving myself crazy. But I'm driving myself crazy as we're recording right now. Looking through Twitter notifications, just waiting for a glimmer of hope of baseball news.
Which, yeah, we'll talk about that next week, maybe.
Yeah.
Speaking of next week's show, Tyler, I have an early tease for next week. NFL free agency starts not next Monday, but the following Monday, correct? That's like the legal tampering period or whatever.
I think it's like, yeah, March 16th, something like that. It's around that date, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe next week we can have a little Lions free agency talk. How's that sound?
That's good. You know, I've actually been looking into that. So
boom!
There are some intriguing free agents that I think the Lions could go out and get this offseason for sure.
There we go. There's our topic for next week. A little bit of a tease for you for next week's show. Well, that's next week. Let's focus on this week. Tyler, you did mention on last week's program, though, that you have been watching a lot of Red Wings as of late and just overall this season. Did you see that game on Saturday night? That was the wildest thing I've ever seen.
I was texting throughout the game, and my goodness.
I was not okay during that game. I don't know who was texting me. I don't know what was going on Saturday night during that game.
This was, like I said, this is like, I don't want to say the first season I've got into the Red Wings, but like legitimately like followed the Red Wings like almost on like a, you know, daily basis or game basis, whatever. And I have never seen any game even close to that. Red Wings, NHL, that was the
Sports.
Most absurd third period I've ever seen in my entire life. Scored 5 goals. And we were down 7-2.
And we lost.
And we lost by 3.
And we lost. That's the best part. We scored 5 in the third period. After going into the third period down 7-2, we made a comeback, made a 1-goal game multiple times, and we still lost by 3. We gave up 10 goals in that game on Saturday. That's not okay.
Switched our goalies back and forth. I didn't know you could do that. I thought it was kind of like baseball.
I did not know you could do that either. When Ned came back in to start the third period, I did not know that was a thing.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of like baseball. Like, once you take your starting pitcher out, like, you can't go back to him. But I saw in the Dalgavich back, I'm like, what the hell is going on right now? And then the Maple Leafs, they went to Mrazek. I mean, I haven't seen a game like that ever. And it was interesting, man. That third period, that when they had that goal streak going where they just kept scoring every shot that you were taking, it was absolutely unreal. I'm like, what is going on? That was fun to watch, though, but it was fun.
Oh, yeah,
but
it was fun. It was also stressful.
Yeah,
my gosh.
Fun / stressful because, like, when you score 5 goals in a period, you have to win that hockey game. I don't care how much you were
down. When you score 7, you should expect to win. Goaltending and defense was not a thing in that game. team, especially for us.
No, yeah, that was terrible, man. That was something. I'll say that.
Yeah, that's something, all right. But hey, listen. Go ahead.
The worst of it was too. I think we were down by one at this point.
We get
a penalty, and then we just give a shorthanded goal. I'm like, what are we doing?
Oh yeah, we were on a power play, and they got a shorthanded goal right away. It's like, all right, well, that's cool.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, this is our chance to maybe tie it up or make it a one. I don't remember what the score was at that time, but whatever it was, we had a chance to make it close.
It was cool to see a football score, though.
Yeah, 17 goals in a hockey game is not something you see every day. If that was your first hockey game, I hope you enjoyed, because that's something you might not ever see ever again. 17 goals. Hope you took the over for that one, Grant. But I did want to mention this too really quickly before we get into the program. Tyler, you know, you say that this is kind of your first year really getting into the Red Wings. This is a good year for you to really get into them. Most cider for the Calder, by the way.
No, yeah, they've been really fun this year, man. They're just a fun team to watch on a game, you know, every game basis. Like, they're a young, scrappy team. You see the potential in this team, and it's just a team that's going to give it their all every single game, it seems like. It doesn't matter who they're really going against. They have a chance almost every game, and it kind of feels, like I said, I made this comparison a little bit to the Tigers, what they did last year, where they're just one of those teams where you kind of gave them a chance every game. You never really counted them out, and you wouldn't be shocked if they won a game versus whoever that night. So I kind of get that same vibe from this Red Wings team, and it's just kind of like the Tigers, but even maybe more even more promising, because you're seeing more of the young guys play at a high level. Like, you're seeing Sider, you're seeing Lucas Raymond, and you're seeing Dylan Larkin have an absolute killer year. You're having all these guys really step up to the plate. It just gives you a lot of hope for, especially a general manager who's proven that he can win this league before. So, I mean, the future is bright for this team for sure. And they've been super, super fun to watch for sure.
I'm glad you mentioned Dylan Larkin. He is having maybe the best season of his career. He is going absolutely off right now. It's beautiful to see, because there were some people questioning Dylan Larkin coming into the season.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, there were some questions about, oh, I don't know if Dylan Larkin is actually someone who could be the captain of this team. I don't know if he's someone you can really build this thing around. He's proving that. He is absolutely proving that he can be one of the guys to build this thing around. It's great to see, because Dylan's Dylan. We all love Dylan, so it's good to see him not just playing well this year, but completely going off. He is having a remarkable season, and I mentioned Most Cider for the Calder. I'll say it again. Most Cider for the Calder. Most Cider is so good, and he's only a rookie. He's doing stuff that you just don't see rookies do. Like, he looks like a 10-year vet out there.
You know, he just looks like one of those, he looks like a veteran defenseman, and that's something the Red Wings needed really badly, obviously, especially if you watch that game on Saturday. They need defense badly, and to know that they got one of the more promising guys, if not the most promising guy, it's definitely, you know, a bright spot of this Red Wings rebuild. And I feel like we kind of knew that this rebuild was going to take a while when Stevie was taking over. And it's just, you could even make the argument that they're kind of exceeding expectations right now. Because I remember I asked you before the season, you know, what's your expectation for the season? And I feel like you could tell me this. Did you expect this, or maybe even a little worse?
No, yeah, that's what I was expecting it to probably be another really down year. Yeah. But with the way Dylan has played and Tyler Bertuzzi and, you know, with Mo Sider and Lucas Raymond taking big steps forward this year, with Ned showing some signs, like, yeah, they've really been exceeding expectations. And listen, they're not completely out of this yet. Like, they clearly still got to upgrade at a few things, mainly defense. But like, they're getting close for sure. And they've got so many studs that are going to be coming up here within the next few years, too. Guys like Simon Edvinson and Berggren, who's down in Grand Rapids right now. And there's just so many others that I could just list here. But it's a long list. The future in Hockey Town is incredibly bright. There's absolutely no question about that. And I do want to mention this really quickly with Mo Sider, too. Going back to him, he might get Norris votes this year, honestly. He might get Norris votes. I was listening to the Windmill podcast the other day. Shout out to them. and they had Ken Daniels on, and they were talking about that. And Ken said, "Yeah, I think he might get a few Norris votes." Which, if you don't know, the Norris is like the defenseman of the year. He's a rookie. Oh my goodness,
that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy, man.
Oh, we love it.
Yeah, no, this Red Wings team has absolutely been. It's been really fun to watch for sure. So I'm excited, man. I'm just excited to see where this goes.
We're going to at least one more game this year, me and Tyler. Our next game is not today, but yeah, 1 week from today, next Tuesday against the Coyotes. Hey, Grant, our Coyotes.
This is a game you guys are for sure not betting on, I'm assuming.
I'm absolutely not touching that game. I'll bet the 4-2.
I'm going to bet on it.
Oh.
I mean, bet. Jay, if you want some free money, just take Coyotes money line.
No,
better than us, but every time I bet on a team to beat the Coyotes, every time Tony and I bet on a team to beat the Coyotes just win.
I bet against them last week against the Kings, and they lost. That was fun.
There you go. So.
I will say one thing about this hockey team. It's just cool to flirt around.
The Red Wings or the Coyotes?
No, the Red Wings. that they were even flirting around the playoffs this late into the season. I mean, now we're entering March.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's only 2 months left in the season. You got March and April left. And that, you know, now they're pretty far away from cracking.
They're not completely out of it, but they're not making it. They're not making it.
It would take kind of a miracle run for them to make the playoffs.
Especially with our schedule. Our schedule, I think it's the toughest remaining schedule in hockey. And it is brutal. Like, just this week, we've got Hurricanes tonight. And then I think back-to-back games this weekend at Tampa Bay and Florida. That's brutal. Just that three-game stretch alone.
But, yeah, even though they were able to flirt around the playoffs, this length of the season is definitely encouraging for especially a young team. And, you know, maybe we could actually be in the playoffs next year. I don't think that's a crazy assumption.
No.
What they do in the offseason.
Yeah, absolutely not. I think next year, I mean, it depends on what happens in the offseason. Stevie is a very patient guy. He should be. You know, he shouldn't rush this. I don't know. Based off of this season, maybe next year we can kind of raise the expectations a little bit. I have no idea. But let me read you the Red Wings schedule in the month of March. So like I said, tonight at home against Carolina, this Friday night and Saturday night back-to-back at Tampa Bay at Florida. Now, that's a beautiful back-to-back stretch right there. And then, you know, next Tuesday we do got the Coyotes, which sounds easy, but we did lose to them earlier this season in Arizona, so that was perfect. And then after that, the Wild, the Flames, the Oilers, and the Canucks, who are all playing solid hockey at the moment. The Kraken, that's the Kraken, huh? We should probably win that game in Seattle, but they have been a little feisty over the past few weeks, so we'll see. The Flyers, we should probably beat them. The Islanders, we've beaten them a few times already this year. We should probably beat them again, I would say. But that is a road game. This team just can't play on the road for whatever reason. I shouldn't say for whatever reason. It's a young team. Usually, sometimes you see young teams like this Wings team kind of struggle away from their home ice or just their home in general, you know, regardless of the sport. So it is what it is. They'll eventually learn to play on the road. But regardless, after that, and then you got Tampa Bay at Pittsburgh versus New York. That's a brutal schedule. So for those maybe still invested in the Red Wings playoff race, that schedule is not going to help you. But hey, even if they don't make the playoffs, I think we're all in agreement here that it's still a really successful season for sure. Now they got to end off on a good note, though. They do got to end off on a good note.
Yeah, I mean, you still got a whole another month after that, so
Yeah,
absolutely been a good season, and just like I said, it was cool to see them float around the playoffs this late into the season.
Yeah, for sure. It's been an exciting season. Good Red Wings talk there, Tyler. That came out of nowhere. That wasn't in the show notes. I enjoyed that, though. That was fun. Good Red Wing talk, Tyler. Good Red Wing talk. Well, let's move from Red Wings into Pistons, because that was going to be our main topic today before we did a little Red Wings talk there. So, let's talk some Pistons. I did tease it a little bit last week that we were going to talk Pistons on the show today. Now, listen, we really haven't talked about the Pistons on the show a lot this season. And the reason for that is because, well, as you probably guessed, they just aren't very good this year. There just hasn't been a whole lot of good to talk about with this Pistons team, unfortunately, this year. It's another rebuilding year, even though we, including me, came into the season thinking, oh, I think they might be a little bit better. Maybe they can compete for the play-in. Yeah, it's been downright brutal to watch at points. Not the best year for the Pistons, to say the least. But despite that, though, there are some bright spots, believe it or not. Pistons have won three of their last four as we record right now before their game on Tuesday night in D.C. It seems like the team chemistry is finally starting to click a little bit for this young team, which is nice to see. We still got Cade, Rookie of the Year. We got other young guys balling out like Sadiq, Isaiah, and Hamidou. We just traded for Marvin Bagley III, who was playing well before his hopefully minor ankle sprain. It's not all bad. It hasn't been great by any means, but it hasn't been all that bad, honestly, if you ask me. So today, as we talk Pistons, let's talk about some of the positives for the Pistons. Good gosh. Can we focus on the positives, Tyler?
If you don't know where that's from, then...
If you know, you know. Yeah, so if you know, you know. If you know,
you know. I feel like only limited people know what that means, but if you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Let's focus on the positives. So, gentlemen, here's what I want to do today. Pick one positive from the Pistons this season. It could be a player. It could be anything. Pick one positive for the Pistons this season, and let's talk about it. It's been a down year for the Pistons for sure, another rebuilding year, but there are some positives. Let's talk about those positives today. So, Tyler, I want to start with you. What is your one positive for the Pistons so far this season in what has been a down rebuilding year for them?
So, my one positive is I think this is a might be a bit of a stretch, but I feel like Pistons have established some bench pieces for the future, if that makes sense. So I think they have a couple guys that we could look at as long-term pieces on this bench unit, potentially if they can, you know, keep them. And I think one of them specifically, we haven't seen him play in a little bit because of injuries in, but I think he's just a really talented player. That's Frank Jackson. Frank Jackson's just one of those guys where, you know, he's just this kind of a spark plug whenever he's on the court. He's going to score for you whenever he's on, you know, a second unit. And especially for a Pistons team this year where they've had trouble scoring in the second unit before getting Marvin Bagley. I think a guy like Frank Jackson, he's just a winner, man. That's just a guy you want on your team. I think any team in the NBA could use a guy like Frank Jackson. He's not a guy that's going to break the bank. He's not going to be one of your top paid guys on your salary. But he's just one of those guys that you want on your basketball teams. And I'm going to give credit to James Edwards III from The Athletic because he brought up this idea to me. And I'm like, I thought you brought up a great point. It's like Frank just being one of those guys where, you know, he's a building block, I think. You know, he's not the flashiest guy, but definitely a guy you want to build off for sure.
Can I jump in here really quickly? Do you know how old Frank Jackson is, by the way?
No older than like 25, right?
He's 23. He's still really young. People might not know that. I didn't know it. When I saw that he was 23, I thought he was way older than 23. I thought he was at least maybe 26. Not because of his looks.
When he had that mustache.
Oh, no, come on now. Let's settle down here. But, no, I just assumed that he might have been, like, an older player. But he's only 23.
No, he's a good player, man. I know this year we haven't yet to see him like too often just because he's been dealing with
he's had some
a lot of minor injuries. Yeah. But I don't know, man. Frank, like you mentioned, he's young. He's not a guy that's going to cost the bank. I just think this is a guy that you want on your basketball team. It's a guy that you could put in your rotation for sure if you want to go 8-man rotation, 9-man rotation. I think Frank Jackson fits in that role perfectly, and he's just a spark plug off the bench if you need scoring on the second unit.
Mm-hmm. And then another guy off the bench that has been really good this year is Hamidou too.
Absolutely. I just want to, you know, single in on one player. But, yeah, I think that when I was alluding to we found some players, I think he was, you know, someone I was mentioning as well, Hamidou, Frank. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think there's some other guys on this team that they might be starting right now or, you know, they might be on the bench right now. But I think they're part of this core as well. But I didn't want to steal all of that. So I'm going to single in on Frank Jackson.
No, if your whole point is we have some nice bench pieces, you can talk about all of them. It's fine.
Yeah. So Frank, Hamis specifically – I think another guy that, you know, this might, I don't know if this is a bold take by any means, but Isaiah Stewart, I know he's a starter right now, but I think going forward, I think the Pistons could address that center position as far as a starting center. And then I think Isaiah will be a perfect role player for this team. I think he kind of fits into that core perfectly, which you want. You know, he'll give you really good 20, 25 minutes off that bench, and he's going to give you all his heart, and he's going to be scrappy. He's going to give you some defense. So I think those three specifically I'm looking at as like long-term pieces. I think you got them under affordable contracts and you could probably keep those guys. So Frank, Hami, and Stewart are three guys I'm looking forward in this Pistons rebuild as key bench pieces to give you good minutes off that bench.
Hey, we got to show Kelly Olynyk some love too.
The game winner on Sunday.
After that game winner on Sunday, yeah. I'm telling you, I think someone during that game showed him all of our bad tweets, including me. I was talking a little bit of junk on Sunday, which, I mean, to be fair, Kelly has not been, overall, he has not been exactly great this year. And the last stretch of games has been kind of brutal, honestly, but... Hey, Kelly, Twitter's talking bad about you. Okay, bet. And then you just start drawing three after three after three after three. Yes. And then you get the game winner gets awarded. It's like, all right, I'm sorry, Kelly. I'll never talk bad about you ever again.
Since he's came back from COVID and his injury from Houston, he hasn't been, you know, the guy that I think they expected when they signed him. So it was nice to see on Sunday versus the Hornets that he had a really good game. He was shooting the ball really efficiently. So, you know, I think that's just something you hope going forward the rest of the season. You hope Kelly's still efficient. You get more games like this more often.
Yeah. I like that positive from you, too. The fact that we have a few legitimate, nice bench pieces to build around going forward.
I mean, you need that. You need depth absolutely. In the league. You need depth in the league. You know, there's always injuries. You still need productive minutes off the bench because if you, you know, put your second unit in when your first unit comes out and you collapse, you know, it's going to be, you're coming back from the whole game and it's just, you don't want that going forward. So to have some guys that, you know, provide a spark like Hamidou and Frank and I think Isaiah, I think that that's something to really be, you know, positive going forward with this Pistons team.
Yeah, and especially Hamidou specifically. I don't want to talk too much about him because I don't know if Grant or Jay are possibly going to talk about Hami as their positive, so I don't want to kind of steal their guy from them. But I'll say this really quickly. Hamidou especially, he just continues to make plays on both ends of the floor. Every single night, he continues to make plays on both ends of the floor. I love Hamidou, man. That is for sure one of my favorite players on this team. I remember when he wasn't playing earlier this season, I was like, what? Why? Why is he not playing? Like, we know that he can be productive for us. We know how he's got crazy athleticism. Like, put him out there. Let's see what he can do. And, you know, he's just sitting on the bench. It's like, all right, well, it looks like he might be on his way out. We're not playing him. And then he finally got played. And look at him now.
Well, that was a very sleeper trade by, I don't even know if it's a, like, considered sleeper anymore, but by Troy Weaver making that deal last year on this time.
That was a good move.
Savi Mykhailiuk and 2027 second-round pick, something crazy like that. And you got a guy that I think Hamidou has the potential to start if you need him to start. I think you could put him in either role, and I think he's completely fine.
Yeah. You know what's a good baseball comparison? This is so random, Tyler, but this is me and you, our baseball talk. I kind of think of Hami as Tyler Alexander from the standpoint of if you need Tyler to be in the starting rotation, he can do it and deliver. And same thing with Hamidou. Like, he is really good off the bench. And if you need him to start, he can do that too. And Tyler Alexander, if you need him to start, he'll produce. And he's also pretty good out of the bullpen.
Yeah. No, and
you like that comparison?
I do like that comparison. Yeah. I view them similarly too, because like Alexander's baseball. A guy I always wanted the bullpen too. Like, I'm okay with him starting, but he's a guy preferring that bullpen role. And kind of with Hamidou too. He could start, but I prefer him off the bench because he offers that spark off that second unit. Because I think we already have a lot of scores, and they already offer, you know, the spark in the first unit. You got guys like Cunningham, you got Sadiq, and, you know, those guys, Jeremy Grant. But, you know, when you get a guy like Hamidou to come off that second unit, that's a guy I like off my second unit more than I like him to start. But he could start, and I have zero problems with it either.
Let's move on to Jay Horn now. Jay, in what has been another down rebuilding year for this Pistons team, give me one positive that you have from the Pistons this year.
So can I use him technically or no?
Yeah, use Hamidou. I'm sorry if I stole a little bit of your shine. No, talk about
Hamidou. I'll do like partially. So I'll go off of my tweets. When the season first started, I was saying he's going to be the odd man out. You can quote me on it. You can go on my tweet and everything. And I think this was when he had the issue with Casey, I think it was, or like a little bit.
Yeah, there was something going on there.
Whatever was going on with him, but he was like hooping. He was doing great and whatnot. You fast forward to now, he's like one of the, I want to say he's like a spark plug, man. Because whenever you put him in, he's always doing what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Like, he never does too much. He can, he shoots much better this year than he's ever shot in OKC. Yeah. He can, he's a good slasher, good mid-range shooter, get to the bucket. I like him and Sadiq together on the court. Those are, that's my two. I like that. But yeah, Hami, only, I'm only using him because I know I was really, like, you know, tough on him when the season started, because I'm like, he's not going to play. Like, I'm like, he's not going to be in the rotation.
You had, well, you Josh weren't Jackson. Wrong. I mean, he wasn't.
Yeah, but you had guys like Josh Jackson, which I'm biased to.
Hey, still your to boy.
Yeah, you know, he was playing over him, and he was, you know, being Josh or whatever. You had Trey Lyles. Good God. You had him out there, you know, shooting threes like he was Steph Curry in certain games and stuff like that. But yeah, I was really big on Hami not playing. And I was like, he's just not going to, like, we're not going to keep him. And then he started, you know, getting more minutes. And he's probably like my second or third favorite Piston to watch, like, play, because he's just, his energy, he never gets tired no matter what. So yeah, that's my guy. I'm starting to be a big fan of his. He can dunk too, so I'm biased to that. He's nice. And I hope he can, we can keep this role of his right now, because I don't want him to go anywhere. He needs to stay in Detroit. I really hope whatever issue they had with him and the coaching staff has been resolved.
Oh, I'm sure it's fine clearly, right now. Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that's a big positive, because if like this was like September, October, you know, when the season first was starting, I would have been like, he's not going to be on this team come the summertime, but that's the opposite now. Not even close to it.
Who do you think would win in a dunk contest? Parlay J or Hamidou?
Parlay J at 21. Yeah.
What about Parlay J at 23?
I'm like three dunks and then I might be done.
Jay makes it sound like he's like 30 years old. Yeah, Parlay J at 21. The dude is 23. Right back.
Hey, you gotta, hey man, you gotta ask Grant, man. I was a high flyer, man. I was different.
Grant?
No, I can confirm, man.
But I'm not saying he's not anymore. I mean, I saw that video from the old.
Yeah, remote. I was trying to say, I saw that video.
Still get, hey, oh, man.
I used to, I can still get up there. We'll see though.
Oh, I know you can. You know,
if I can, you know, somehow get in contact with him, you know, down the line, we can do that.
Yeah. Jay's got a shot too. I didn't realize he had a shot to him. Like, he's posting these videos. He's pulling up from three and nailing him. I'm like, Jay told me he can't shoot. He always goes to, in his words, EB for the shots. Who's Eli Bashy?
Yeah, man, it was. I was feeling good.
Did
know?
You learn that from Eli?
Letting it go. I think so.
Who taught you Eli how to shoot?
I think Eli. He told me he beat me in a contest. You know. So
Jay wears that long sleeve too, man.
Long sleeve. Oh yeah, yeah.
Hey, where's that long sleeve shirt under?
Yeah, that's the arena, Jay. That's you know, win or go home, Jay.
Jay, how many nicknames do you have?
He's got a lot. Parlay J, Arena J, Sleeve J.
Devon.
Yeah, CEO Devon.
CEO,
yeah.
Let him know.
Yeah, it's a lot, man. I just make them as I go. You never know what you're going to call me. They never know.
Oh, man. Yeah, Hamidou. We love Hamidou. Good positive there from Jay. I was hoping someone would talk about him, because he has been, without question, one of the bright spots for this team for sure. Let's go to Grant now. Grant, what's your one positive from the Pistons this year?
My biggest positive was an acquisition. I was really thrilled we got Marvin Bagley. I loved him in college. I kind of saw, like, I wasn't tracking his stats, but he was definitely being wasted on the Kings and kind of in that Stanley Johnson corner spot that they just kind of posted him up in, and now he's already having an effect in the pick and roll, which I think is sweet. I mean, that's like every game that he's throwing down some pick and roll dunk, so that's fun.
Cade lob threat?
Yeah, I mean, it just adds a whole other factor to the Pistons' offense, which is obviously really needed, because since you did bring up Cade, I do just want to say that he can get a bucket when he wants a bucket, and that's, I mean, I'm obviously, this is old news, but it's very exciting alone. But no, I'm actually really thrilled that we got Marvin Bagley. And just going forward, hopefully he can stay healthy and continue being that big man kind of rim runner type kind of guy.
I was saying on Twitter for a while that I wanted to see Marvin Bagley on the Pistons. And I think Troy Weaver even wanted Marvin Bagley for a while, too. You were seeing a lot of reports stating back to, I think, as far as a year ago or whatever, that Troy Weaver had interest in Marvin Bagley III. And, again, that was always someone I also wanted to see on the Pistons. And when we trade for him, I was very happy. Because Marvin Bagley, believe it or not, he's still only 22 years old. He is also still really, really young. You know, as Grant said, just didn't work out in Sacramento. It happens. Maybe he just needed a change of scenery. And so far in three or four games with the Pistons, he's been playing well, about 10 points per game and 7 rebounds. Listen, still really young. We really didn't trade much to get him. I mean, what did we trade? Josh Jackson, Trey Lyles, and I think a few seconds in that 3 or 4 team deal or whatever it was before the trade deadline. Like, it's another young piece to try to, I guess, experiment with on this rebuilding team. If it works out, that's awesome. That's a piece for the future. And so far, it's looking really good. Like we said, that's a lob threat for Cade. We always really wanted to see Cade with a lob threat, an actual lob threat. And Marvin Bagley's bringing that. That's really, really nice to see. If it works out, great. It's another piece to build around. If not, hey, oh well, at least you tried, I guess. And you really didn't give up much to get Marvin Bagley anyway. But yeah, Marvin Bagley. I'm glad you mentioned that, Grant. Marvin Bagley is my guy. I wanted him on the Pistons for a while. Now that he's here, oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. Can I give my positive to, I'm surprised no one mentioned him, Sadiq Bey. I'm especially surprised Jay didn't mention him. Jay, Sadiq's your boy.
No, I wanted to use Sadiq, but I was like, I'm going to use Hami because, like, I was hard on him and Sadiq, but Hami, I thought he was just out of here. So, yeah.
Well, Sadiq Bey is my positive. It's interesting for Sadiq because, you know, to start the season, I mean, he was kind of having a bit of a sophomore slump, I guess you could say. I don't know. It's hard to describe. He just really wasn't playing like the Sadiq we saw last year. It looked like at points he was trying to do a little bit too much, I guess. You know, after a bit of a slow start to the season and a couple bad stretches, he really has picked it up over the last few months, and he's been looking like the Sadiq Bey from last year, and then some. Like, he's been really, really good for this basketball team. And this season, after a bit of a rough start, Sadiq is kind of establishing himself as another piece for this team. That's my positive. Go Sadiq.
Tony, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
So we look at Sadiq as a unanimous. He's a building block for sure.
Yeah.
But do you think Sadiq Bey could be in that category right now as part of the core? I mean, you know, when you talk about a core, it's like top three, top four guys in your team. Is Sadiq part of that core?
Yes. When I think about the top building blocks for this team, the top two names that come to my mind are Kay and Sadiq for sure.
Okay. Because, like, Isaiah Stewart, for example, is like he's part of your team going forward, but he's not part of your core, in my opinion.
Yeah, because you mentioned it earlier with Beef Stew. I mean, listen, this is nothing against Isaiah. He has been playing remarkably well over the past few games. He's been playing really good. But, like you said earlier, we're probably going to, whether it's through the draft and or free agency, we're probably going to get a big man on this team that's probably going to start over Isaiah, you would imagine.
Yep.
Which is nothing wrong with that.
No, but, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, Isaiah is definitely a guy you build off of, but like I don't view him as part of like the core. Like these are going to be your starting guys going forward. Like this is the guys you count on when you need a big bucket, or the guy's going to be on the court guaranteed at the end of the game. I think we could put that conversation with Sadiq Bey. That was something I wanted to see this year with Sadiq. And I think, like you said, there was questions before the season, and I think we've definitely seen Sadiq emerge.
Well, I don't know if there was necessarily questions before the season. I didn't have those questions.
Early
in the season, yeah. There were some points early in the season where even I was like, geez, Sadiq, you really need to step it up a little bit here. I never got to a point where I was doubting Sadiq. I mean, I want to talk about Killian briefly in a second here, but like it's the same thing with Killian. I hate giving up on young players way too soon. And like with Sadiq, again, there are people saying like, when there were the Caris LeVert trade rumors before he got traded to Cleveland, there was those rumors that the Pistons had interest, and people were like, oh, well, you'd probably have to trade Sadiq. Let's do it. It's like, what? You just want to give up on Sadiq now? After a little bit of a cold stretch? Come on. But to see him really pick it up over these past few months and playing very well to solidify himself as a piece for this team. Yeah, that's really, really good to see.
I think also it's encouraging to see, especially these last couple of games, especially after the All-Star break and then the game in Boston right before the All-Star break, this team is getting back to that competitive games where we were just not seeing for, you know, multiple games this year. And that's where it was really discouraging. We're like, what are we doing here with this rebuild? But I feel like as of late, you mentioned it at the start of the segment, it's like this team is gelling together, getting the chemistry together more down. And, you know, every game since the All-Star break, granted, it's only been, I think, 3-4 games, they've been all competitive in every single one, and they've actually won 2 games already versus some pretty good teams. Cleveland's been really good this year. You won that game, and then you won a game for Charlotte where this is a team where you have not been able to beat in the last 15 matchups, and you went to overtime in their place and won that game with, the, like you mentioned, your young guys, Sadiq Bey hitting a big shot, Cade Cunningham coming big down the stretch. So I think that's encouraging, another positive that we've seen, and hopefully you see the remaining of the season.
We got to show Cade some love, too. Rookie of the year. The foul trouble, he needs to sell that down a little bit, getting into foul trouble, especially early in games. But I mean, at the same time, the refs aren't exactly helping him, if you ask me. That's neither here or there. Cade, though, rookie of the year. Motorcade. We love it. But yeah, I did tease it a little bit. I do want to talk about Killian as well, because Killian has been... he's been an interesting topic to talk about on Pistons Twitter this season. Listen, I just said a few minutes ago, I'll say it again right now. I mean, everyone listening to this knows my thoughts on Killian. I'm still not giving up on him. Listen, I hate giving up on young guys early. And Killian is still, what is he? He's still 20 years old. He hasn't even played a full 82-game season yet. Like, I'm just not ready to give up on Killian yet. And that's a different opinion from a lot of people on Twitter, but I'm just not ready to give up on Killian. I mean, when we drafted Killian, I said, like, it's probably going to take time for him to develop offensively. I mean, right away, he'll come into the league and play well defensively. And from a playmaking standpoint, he'll be really good for you, too. He's just got to develop that offense, which could take some time. And if he can do that, I think he'll be a nice piece for this team.
All right, I got another question for you. So I asked you the same question about Sadiq being part of that core, and we could see that potential. Do you see that potential in Killian that he could still be part of that core?
I still see the potential, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, people listening to this will go, Tony, what science has he showed us that he can develop offensively? Because he's shown us nothing this year. Dude, he's still 20 years old. Like, I just find it hard to believe that he's not going to eventually develop some type of offensive game. Like, he has shown some signs, given not a lot, but some signs of Killian. Where did that come from? Where he just takes a nice drive to the basket and gets a tough finish. It's a little frustrating that we never see him do that ever again. But, like, he does show those random signs here and there of good stuff like that. I just find it hard to believe that Killian is not going to eventually develop offensively.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at Kill is, like, I could definitely see him being part of this team, but I don't know. I just don't see it right now, personally, with him being part of that, like, core of players that I'm talking about. Like, he's going to be one of your 4 best players in the team. I don't see it, personally.
I don't know if he'll be one of your top 4, but, I mean, I wish Eli was here. He can help me out with this. But, like, me and Eli have always talked about, what if Killian can turn into, like, a Lonzo Ball type of player, which I think that's a good comparison for Killian, because Lonzo, remember when he came into the league, he could not shoot a three, and a couple years later, now look at him, he's almost automatic from three now. Like, it takes time for these young players to grow, regardless of the sport. It takes time for these young players, and like I said with Killian, he's still 20, he still hasn't even played a full 82 game season yet.
I hope. I don't know. I just don't see it right now. I see it defensively, like you mentioned.
I know Jay doesn't, for sure.
Yeah, I just don't see him. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Jay, don't. You know you don't like Killian.
I don't, but, like, the potential is there, but it's just, like, so hard to just root for the guy. Like, I don't know, man. I expected more. But, yeah, the Lonzo Ball thing, I seen the Marcus Smart thing, too. I think it was cool. I forgot whose page it was. I seen that comparison. And a DeJounte Murray type, but I'm like, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know about that. I don't know if he could score like DeJounte could. But
that's what I said. Because that's my guy. I love that. I've been rooting for him for like 6 years. And they said that I got offended and we got into a little argument. But I think Killian can be like a second string dude, but he doesn't have any confidence yet. So we'll see.
Let me ask you this. Killian is not going to be someone who scores like 20, 25 a night. No. But if he turns into someone who can give you like 12 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds with a couple steals and a couple blocks with 0 or 1 turnover, are you fine
That's
with
Rajon
that?
Rondo. That's Rajon Rondo.
You just named Rondo.
And are you cool with that? Are you cool with that?
That's yes, that's great. Rondo's borderline top 75. Like you can that's great.
I have to see that first though. Like I know his playmaking is we've seen flashes, but it's nowhere near as consistent as Rajon Rondo. If he could be that playmaker,
I'm not saying he is Rondo. I'm saying if he can turn into a Rondo, would you be satisfied?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If he could generate to be that type of player, I'm absolutely satisfied with that type of player. But I just don't see it right now personally. But if he does,
how long do we wait though? How long?
Well, I'm willing. That's an interesting question, Jay. And again, I wish Eli was here to talk about this because me and him have had this conversation before. I don't want to put words in Eli's mouth, but I remember talking with Eli about something similar to that, and he told me something along the lines of, after you drafted Cade, it's tough to have a player like Killian who's going to need like 3-4 years to really develop into the player who we think he can truly be, which he's not wrong when he says that. Like this offseason, we're going to have to try to really build a better team because you got to start winning soon with a guy like Cade. You win the lottery and get a Cade Cunningham on this team, and then you hopefully have another top 3 pick. Yeah, you better start winning soon. So that makes it tough for a guy like Killian who's going to need some time to develop. And that's why I think maybe him coming off the bench is a good thing for him. And he has shown a lot more signs while coming off the bench of really playing solid basketball.
So do you think Killian – so right now you're going to keep Killian next year. He's going to make his $5 million, which is nothing, right?
I hope. Yeah, I hope. I don't think Koo is crazy. That's all I'm going to say.
Unless there's a trade where, you know, there's something like that. But I wouldn't be shocked, but I hope not. I don't think Troy just trades him just to trade him. I think he only trades
That would not be good if he just trades his first ever pick with the Pistons. Yeah.
I don't think he just trades him for anything. I think if he's trading Killian, he's going to be part of a package to get a guy that he knows like is going to be a guaranteed player for him going down the line. That's the only way I see it. I don't see him just doing, you know, a recognitional project with another project. Yeah. Like the Savi and Hamidou deal. I don't see that with Killian. All right, but you got Killian this year. You got Killian next year at affordable cost. But then it comes in the fourth year option where you're going to have to pick up that qualifying offer. Do you pick up that offer for Killian, which is almost $10 million?
So here's where what you asked me earlier circles back into play. I think it was either you or Jay, I don't remember who, but one of you two asked me how long are you giving Killian. If by next season, if he's still on the team, if by next season he still isn't really proving a lot offensively, especially from a scoring the basketball standpoint, then even I will be like, all right, yeah, probably not. But right now, I'm still not ready to give up on Killian. Like,
there's no need to. There's no need to.
Well,
look at Twitter.
Look at Twitter. Half the fan base is giving up on him already.
I mean, what is the reason to give up for him? Who are you going to play instead?
I Corey?
I say
that sarcastically.
Like, what are we giving him up for? Like, it's a rebuilding year. This is the year that you want to experiment stuff, and you want to see who you got going down the line. This is a good time to prove that.
I am not giving up on Killian Hayes yet. I know, especially from a scoring the basketball standpoint, he hasn't showed us a lot this season. But from a defensive standpoint, from a playmaking standpoint, I still see signs there. And every now and then, he does show signs of, hey, that was kind of sweet. Do more of that. Get your confidence up. Do more of that. And that's all of that combined is kind of why I still have hope in Killian. along with the fact that, like I said, he's still 20 and he still hasn't even played a full 82 game season. Now, let's say last year the hip injury never happens. He played a full 72 game season or whatever it was. If that was the case and we were like 100 games in at this point, then at this point right now, I'd be like, all right, yeah, he's probably not going to be anything for us. But that's not the case at all. At all.
Yeah.
I just give him time. That's all I'm saying. Just give him time. I've always been someone who preaches patience with my teams. There's at least one young player with every team in this city that the fans, for whatever reason, they just say, nah, they're not going to be anything. Every team here in this city has at least one of those players. Killian with the Pistons, Matt Manning for the Tigers, Zadina with the Red Wings, Okuda for the Lions. Literally every team, all four of them, have
you
at least...
You said that like so like, you didn't even have to think about it. It's like, yeah, Okuda with the Lions, Manning with the Tigers.
Am I wrong?
No, but like, I didn't have to think about that for a second.
There you go.
I would have to think about that for a second, but you just had it right on the top of your mind.
Every team in the city has at least one of those young players where half the fan base is just done with them. And I just, that's not how I roll. I preach patience all the time for a reason. Just give these young players time. Killian, Zadina, Manning, Okuda, like, give them time. Just be patient with them, man.
We'll give Killian some time because that Rondo thing, that comparison.
You might. I don't know if Twitter will. I'm not.
No, because like we got to think, though. Rondo came into the league and had 1 year without those three people that, you know, came after or were the two people. He had KG, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce. Yeah. So it's not like he doesn't. We have Jeremy Grant, Sadiq, and, you know, whoever.
Oh,
that's a big upgrade for him.
Speaking of Jeremy, you know, it's a good thing we're running out of time here because we could have a whole conversation about Jeremy.
Had a good game on Sunday.
The first one since the deadline. Oh my goodness! But we don't have enough time for that anyway.
Well, yeah, with Killian though, yeah, you got the remaining whatever 20 some games you got this year. Then I think you got next year. But I think
next year's big for him.
Yeah,
he's here.
I think that's when the interesting question comes in. If he's here, do you even pick up that qualifying offer?
I'm pretty sure he's going to be here.
I do too. I'm just saying after the 23 season, I think that's when the question really comes into play.
Yeah, if he can stay healthy, next year is a big year for Killian. If he can stay healthy, by this time next year, if we're having the same conversation about Killian, then at that point I'll be like, all right, probably not. It probably won't work here. But I'm just not ready. I'm not taking shots at people on Twitter either. If like I understand if you're I disagree with it, but I understand if you're not having a lot of faith in Killian. For me personally, I hate giving up on young players early. I've always preached patience with him, and I'll continue to do that. To sum it up, that's my thoughts on Killian Hayes.
That was a good Pistons talk. Good Pistons talk.
That was a very good Pistons talk. I want to get Grant in here on the Killian talk as well.
He has his jersey.
Well, kind of. It's a number 7 jersey, but it's not necessarily Killian. It's everybody. All the number 7s. Grant, you're going to end us off here. Give me your quick Killian Hayes thoughts.
I mean, we've seen, like, or at least heard reports of him shining. We've seen flashes, like Tyler and basically everyone's kind of mentioned. But how much of this is really on him as much as it could be on a coaching staff member?
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Because we saw a certain coach leave a certain team and watch, let's just say, Pascal Siakam become an absolute force the moment he left. So I don't know if it's just a development thing and Dwayne Casey's not the guy to do it, or did we just miss on a draft pick? Like I want to see Killian under somebody else before we make any fatal decisions.
We talk about next year being a big year for Killian. I think next year's a big year for Dwayne Casey, which, by the way, I do not think we're going to move off of Dwayne Casey this offseason. I just don't see it happening. But next year, when you hopefully put a better team out there, spend some money free agency, and hopefully get another top 3, top 4 pick, if next year you don't start winning some more games with a better team, hopefully, then I think we're going to have a real conversation about what to do with Dwayne Casey. Yeah, that's a conversation for later down the line, though. But Grant, I'm glad you mentioned Dwayne, though, because how can we talk Pistons without mentioning Dwayne Casey? We say Killian's a controversial Twitter topic. Dwayne is a very controversial topic.
Does Dwayne have people writing for him? Like, not even as a joker. Like, I have not seen anyone say anything positive about Dwayne Casey.
No, there are still, I'm sure there are still people who think that Dwayne could be the guy for this team. And, like, listen, next year, assuming that the Pistons spend some money this offseason and hopefully get a top three pick, like, let's see what Dwayne can do. Like, that's going to be my mindset going into the season. Let's see what Dwayne can do. If it works out, that's perfect. We don't have to look for a new coach. But if it doesn't, then we'll have to have a tough conversation, I guess. But that's for later down the line. Anyway, though, good Pistons topic. Good show, boys. We talked a little Red Wings hockey, too. Got some Pistons basketball in there. No MLB lockout talk. That was fun. That was a good episode this week. Now, next week, as we teased earlier, Tyler, let's do a Lions free agency preview. How about that?
Good free agents in this market, too.
Yeah. Lions might spend some money.
Yeah, depending on how much they have. Yeah, I mean, we'll see how much they have after some moves that they make and to create some more cap space, I would assume. So, yeah, free agency is going to start heating up for the NFL. And we got the combine this week at the time you guys are listening to this. So we'll have some draft stuff, too, potentially to look out for as football fans.
There we go. Good episode this week, boys. Good to have you back, Jay.
Go FanDuel.
All right, thank you, Jay. I'm done. I'm leaving. Good episode this week, boys. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to Roast Number for sponsoring this week's episode, as always. And we'll catch you all on the next one. Grant, you know how we got to end off the show.
Bye, Roast Number. Oh, and be positive.
You. Be positive.